This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, May the 22nd, as we come off the biggest Phillies victory in at least 6 years, potentially longer, as the Phillies playing their biggest series at Citizens Bank Park since 2012, 2011, somewhere in that range, as they host the first place Atlanta Braves deep into the month of May. And the Phillies take care of business yesterday, a 3-0 victory, a fun, well-fought, well-played victory as the Phillies brought this Braves team into town, a team that had won 6 out of 9 games against the Phillies so far this year, and the Phillies handle their business 3-0. The Phillies now 27-18 on the season. I'll say that again, 27-18. If you're wondering when they won their 27th game last season, it was July the 2nd. On July 2nd last season, the Phillies improved to 27-53. And now on May the 22nd, so from May 22nd to July 2nd, the Phillies are sitting at 27-18. It is unbelievable how far this team has come in just a year. And the credit goes to, obviously, the players on the field, the coaching staff, the front office. It has just been such a fun team to watch so far this season. Such a likable team, a well-coached team, a team that has an approach every single day, a team that plays aggressive, fun baseball to watch. And it's been exciting as they move within a half game of first place in the National League East, sitting at 27-18, 17-6 at home this season. The Phillies at Citizens Bank Park are putting on a show so far this year. It is the best home record in all of baseball at 17-6. Nick Pivetta, the star of last night's game, and Nick Pivetta, man, he is really making a case for me that he is a legitimate major league starter, and someone I never thought Nick Pivetta. Look, this is a guy they traded Jonathan Papelbon for, and now Nick Pivetta is the clear three on this team and is making a case to be one of the better third starters in Major League Baseball at the moment, at least so far this season. 7 innings, no earned runs, 4 hits allowed, and a 7-1 strikeout to walk ratio, again against the best lineup in the National League bar none so far this season. The lineup that you would say, other than Boston and the Yankees, the best lineup in baseball this season, this Atlanta Braves lineup, top to bottom, has been just outstanding. You look at it from Freddie Freeman to Ozzie Albies to Ronald Acuna to the Nick Markakis revival. This team has been awesome, and Nick Pivetta just shut them down start to finish. Pivetta, over his last 3 starts, listen to these numbers, 22 innings pitched. He's allowed 1 earned run, and he has a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 25-2 in 22 innings. Nick Pivetta has been ace-like over the last month and really has only had 1 bad start this year against the Nationals and then a mediocre start or two against these very same Atlanta Braves. And for the most part, though, Nick Pivetta has been absolutely lights out, and he seems to be improving, and we've talked a lot about Pivetta, and one of the things I love about him is his demeanor on the hill. That guy's got a bulldog demeanor. He's got that kind of tough pitcher type of mentality that I grew up with And you watch him on the hill, and you watch the way he battles. Well, on nights when he doesn't necessarily have his best stuff, the way he goes out and grinds and grits through innings and finds ways to get outs. I can't tell you how impressed I've been with Nick Pivetta. I feel like I've said that a lot this year when we talk about guys like Cesar Hernandez and obviously Odubel Herrera, who I've always been a big fan of. But, man, what Nick Pivetta has done this year has been so far exceeding what I think I and obviously most Phillies fans, spectators, whatever, expected this kid to be able to give you. Shout out to Nick Pivetta as we'll get into a little bit what it kind of means for this pitching staff as you look at the Phillies' top three. And again, not to mention that Vince Velasquez has been far better than I expected, at least on a start-by-start basis. A couple rough outings in there, but on the whole, and especially of late, Vincent Velasquez has been certainly serviceable and at times really good. And the whole Zach Eflin of it all, we'll see what happens, coming off a rough outing. But Jared Eichhoff looks to be further away than expected, a setback on the recovery trail. So who knows when Eichhoff will come back. So that situation figuring itself out as we all thought it would. But when you look at these top four, and especially Nick Pivetta sliding into that three hole after Aaron Nola has taken steps ahead and becoming the ace that no one thought he could be and we all hoped he could be, and then Jared Garrieta obviously being what you would expect, Jake Arrieta, you add in Nick Pivetta, and then Velasquez at four right now, especially Pivetta, the guy we saw last night, the guy we've seen the last three outings, man. It really takes this team to another level from a contention standpoint, a level that I certainly didn't think they would have this year. And that's a crazy thing. You look at this lineup, and it really hasn't lived up to expectations. They've done an amazing job of working counts, of getting on base, and certainly Odubel Herrera, among others, have had really great seasons. Cesar Hernandez has obviously been much better than expected. Rhys Hoskins is doing Rhys Hoskins things, but for the most part, this lineup across the board is underachieved. And yet they are sitting again at 27-18, half game out of first, and playing just terrific baseball. So a large credit of that goes to this pitching staff and how great they've been. And Nick Pivetta, probably the biggest pleasant surprise of the bunch in terms of just how good he's been compared to what you expected. So shout out to Pivetta. Last night, the Phillies' runs come. It was the bottom of the lineup that came through last night. Nick Williams gets him on the board with a solo shot to make it 1-0. And then Aaron Altair in a pinch hit spot adds a couple insurance runs later, scoring Scott Kingery as the bottom of the lineup certainly outproduced the top of the lineup. For what it's worth, though, at the top of the lineup, Odubel Herrera with another couple hits. His on-base streak reaches 47 games. Yeah, I said it. I don't care how stupid that rule is. Call it something else. Call it a hit by pitch and a walk streak if you want. But all I know is that Odubel Herrera has either hit a home run or gotten on base safely in 47 straight games. That's all I'm saying. But it is the bottom of the lineup that comes through. Williams, the solo shot, Altair. And then the bullpen gets the job done after Pivetta leaves the game. Sir Anthony Dominguez comes in the eighth inning, shuts the Braves offense down. He did allow a hit, so no longer perfect on the season, which is obviously devastating for many, but still a perfect ERA on the season, so we'll take it, gets him out of the eighth. And then in a move a little questionable at the time, I think a lot of people hoping that Gabe would just leave Sir Anthony Dominguez in there, decides to go to Hector Neris, no less against the guy leading off the inning who Hector Neris gave up that monster home run to on opening day in Nick Markakis. But Neris comes in and gosh darn it, he got the job done. He sends down Markakis, takes care of the lineup there, and Ender Inciarte bunting to end the game. Jorge Alfaro makes one of the best plays you will ever see a catcher make. You will go look it up. It's on Twitter and wherever, highlights. Just go watch this play that Jorge Alfaro makes to end the game on a bunt attempt. And it was, let me tell you, it was as good a bunt as you will see. I mean, it was a perfect bunt as Inciarte just laid it down just brilliantly. And Jorge Alfaro somehow, some way, comes out to his left, grabs the ball in front of Neris, does a spin move, and just fires the ball to first base. Like, it was one of those balls where if you're looking close enough, you can see the heat trails coming off the back of it. That's the kind of throw Alfaro made, and it was such an athletic play. Such a brilliant one. Literally, no joke. I can't oversell this. Go Google it. Watch the play. It's all over Twitter. Watch that play and tell me it is not one of the best defensive plays you've ever seen a catcher make, especially to end a game like that. The catcher defensive plays do not get much better than the play Jorge Alfaro made, and we've talked a lot about Alfaro and how much of a surprise, a pleasant surprise he's been from a defensive perspective. We all knew the cannon was there. We knew the dude could throw, and that has certainly lived up to the billing. But he has been much more nimble, much more athletic back there, and called a much better game, much better pitch framing, all that stuff than I ever expected. So shout out to Jorge Alfaro again. Literally one of the best defensive plays you will ever see a catcher make in a huge spot to close out the game on a brilliant bunt by a speedy guy in Ender Inciarte. And somehow, some way, Alfaro comes up with the ball and fires it down there. Shout out to Alfaro, because you never know what can happen there. If you get a fast base runner on, could have been an out. Hector Neris, we've seen, can go on tilt every once in a while. It was nice to see Alfaro close it out there, make the play, get Neris that save, and the Phillies improved to 27-18. Just to go back to the note that I mentioned at the top, because I can't hammer it home enough. Last season, the Phillies won their 27th game on July the 2nd. It's May 22nd, and the Phillies are at 27 wins, 27-18, 17-6 at home yet again. That is the best home record in the sport. And just an awesome, awesome game for the Phillies yesterday at home. Hopefully tonight they get back at it. The aforementioned Vincent Velasquez takes ill against Brandon McCarthy, who is somehow still pitching in Major League Baseball and somehow still getting the job done. So shout out to Brandon McCarthy. But big night here as the Phillies can clinch a series win tonight already. That is the beauty of winning Game 1. And look, the last time the Braves were here, the Phillies won Game 1 and lost the next two games, so we can't get ahead of ourselves. But still really good to see the way the Phillies handled that first game, took control early, able to stay up on top, and Nick Pivetta just, again, dominant start to finish, and the bullpen takes care of the rest. A close, tight victory. Really fun to see, you know, and it was also fun to feel the crowd down there, feel that playoff excitement, feel like, you know, for the first time in a while that the Phillies are playing a meaningful baseball game that the rest of Major League Baseball cares about, that, you know, matters in the standings, that matters to the story of the season, all that type of stuff. It's been so long since we had that with the Philadelphia Phillies baseball team, and we all know how awesome that can be in this city when this city is all Phillied up and feeling it, and Citizens Bank Park is full every night. It's a beautiful thing. Really, few things in this city are better than that. And we started to feel that again last night. Started to feel the pull of a great Phillies team, an exciting team, and against a team that, you know, is going to be a thorn in their side, not just all season, but for many seasons to come, as this Atlanta Braves team is young and talented and has a lot of help on the way. Which is interesting, and we'll get into that coming up in just a minute, because we are looking at a Phillies and Braves team that both, I think, are kind of a year ahead of schedule, but both really in competing rebuilds at the same time, both with really the same methodology of breaking it down and building it back up at the exact same time, and to varying degrees of success on both sides. Really interesting when you look at these two teams parallel in terms of the rebuilds, and who's ahead? We'll answer that question coming up in just a minute. Plus, we will look ahead, of course, to Game 2. Brandon McCarthy against Vincent Velasquez. The Phillies go for the series win already in what is the biggest series here in Citizens Bank Park in 6, 7, 8 years. Who knows? It's very exciting. At least 7 years since 2011. Probably not more than that, but certainly since 2011, the most exciting series, most biggest series here. So that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So all that and more coming up. We'll get into the Braves, Phillies of it all, and look again at this, why I think this Phillies rebuild is in better shape than the Atlanta rebuild, though both really set up for a lot of excitement for years to come. So that and a whole lot more coming up in just a minute. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. Don't go anywhere. We are back. Phillies Today, James Seltzer, as we discuss a Phillies victory 3-0 yesterday over the Atlanta Braves to improve to 27-18 on the season, 17-6 at home. They go for their 28th win of the season tonight, a chance to go over 10 games over 500 against an Atlanta team that is in first place in the division. But more importantly, if the Phillies win tonight, heading into the last game of the series, they will be in first place in the NL East by half a game. So big stakes on the line. We'll get to that matchup coming up in just a little bit. But I wanted to quickly talk about the Braves and Phillies of it all, because when you look at these two teams, and not only is it fun because we are seeing baseball games that matter in Philadelphia, and we're seeing them against a Braves team that is ahead of schedule as well, and they're in first place in the NL East, but it is a rebuild that I don't think a lot of people thought would be ready to kind of step it into the next gear this year, is both the Phillies and the Braves ahead of schedule, and you look at these two teams, and it is really exciting to think about the prospects of this kind of rivalry over the next few years. It's been a while since the Braves were the rival, right? I mean, you know, for recent years, it's been the Nationals, and we've hated Bryce Harper, and even when the Phillies haven't been good, we've had to watch the Nationals win the division 5 years in a row, and Jason Worth, and all that stuff. But it was really the Mets, right? Before that, when the Phillies were good, it was the Mets in 07, 08, you know, the team they came back and did the whole, you know, seven behind with 17 to go, and that whole thing, and Jimmy Rollins guaranteeing it. But historically, at least when I was growing up, before that, you know, once they came over to the NL East and just started dominating it, it was those Atlanta Braves that you hated the most. And I get the whole New York thing, and you hate the Mets because they're New York on top of everything. But the Atlanta Braves really owned this division for 15 years, year after year after year. And the Phillies just couldn't crack through. And obviously, 93, it was such a big deal to beat the Braves in the NLCS and all that. But it's been a long time since the Phillies and Braves rivalry really had any juice to it, and that's back, and we saw that last night. But the beautiful thing is that that is just the beginning of many years of this rivalry to come. You look at where the Nationals are, you look at where the Mets are from a future standpoint, and neither of them is nearly set up as well as this Phillies and Braves teams are. We've talked a ton about the Phillies rebuild and, you know, jumpstarting it, getting there a year ahead of schedule, Arrieta, Santana, adding that to this thing and the youth and all that. But when you look at the Braves kind of rebuild, it's a really similar model. They have not kind of jumpstarted it with the additions from a free agency perspective the Phillies made this offseason, but it has been a very similar type of tear it all down and build it back up. And you're seeing it with guys, obviously Freddie Freeman way out at the forefront. He has been a really great player for a while and now finally starting to get the credit he deserves as really one of the 10 or 15 best hitters in all of baseball. But we're starting to see some of the fruits of that rebuild. The, you know, Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuna of it all, who we talked a lot about yesterday, but are two generational type of guys, especially Acuna, who's going to be someone who, over the next 7-8 years, we are just going to be damning whatever Atlanta scouts sign that guy to the Braves organization, because he is going to be a terrific baseball player. But you look at that. You look at him. You look at guys like Swanson, Dansby Swanson, their shortstop. You look at this pitching staff with guys like Sean Newcomb taking a step forward, Mike Soroka. You know, we saw him last night, Mike Fulton-Averts. They've got a lot of young talent, a lot of guys with some development still to go. And the scary thing is that they still have a ton of talent left in their minor league system. Their minor league system probably still, and it's hard to judge when all these guys come up, but, you know, as Kingery starts the season here, Acuna comes up, Albie starts the season here. These guys are all part of the most recent system rankings that you can look at, but it looks like the Braves probably still more stocked from a farm system perspective. So you look at these two rebuilds and it gets a little scary. You say, all right, well, you know, is this a Celtics Sixers type thing where, you know, you feel good about your guys, but then you look at what the Celtics have and they lose their two best players and still beat you this year and then still have all these assets. And it's a little nerve wracking. I'm not saying they're ahead of the Sixers, but there's a similar type of thing going on there. But I feel much better about where the Phillies are comparatively for a few reasons. First and foremost, I think that there's more, look, I think you can point to more offensive talent at a young age on the Braves. You know, with Acuña and Albies and Freeman, those are three guys who are legitimate all-star type players for a long time to come, offensively speaking. And sure, the Phillies have Rhys Hoskins. The Phillies have Kingery, who we haven't seen that from yet. And still some, you know, potential down the road and guys to step up and be better. But I think offensively you would go with Atlanta. The key for me, though, is when you flip it around to the pitching side and you look at Aaron Nola, who is a bona fide legit ace. You look at Nick Pivetta, who has found a way to all of a sudden become someone you can count on for the long term. And then guys like Sixto in the minors and just the minor league depth the Phillies have pitching-wise. I think you have to give the Phillies the edge there over Atlanta, though Atlanta does have some nice young arms still set to come up in their system. Here's the biggest thing, not to mention, and we're not even including the fact that I think the Phillies have more money to spend or more willing to spend that money, as they have no one on the books plus a ton of money to spend. But the biggest reason that I feel better about the Phillies rebuild and the Phillies situation as they are moving out of this rebuild is the organizational structure. You know, like Atlanta is coming off a situation where their general manager just had to resign last year over improper use of the international market, and it was a whole thing. They had, minor league players who were subject to being free agents again. It was a whole disaster. You look at that, you know, and then the organizational structure there, all the way down to Brian Snitker and the manager, has done a nice job. But then you look at this Philly structure, and you look at an owner in John Middleton who is all but said he will do whatever it takes to bring a title back to Philadelphia. You look at Andy McPhail, as proven a baseball man as you will find. Granted, John Hart's still involved in Atlanta, another similar type of guy, but McPhail as proven as it gets. You look at Matt Klentak and what he's done. And then, of course, all the way down to Gabe Kapler, who I know there are still haters out there, but I don't know what you're watching if you are. That man has been as impressive a first-year manager as you could ask for, considering the circumstance. I have been just floored with the amount of success that guy has had and the ability that he has had to weather tough situations and come out the other side successful. I feel so much better about the organizational structure that this Phillies team has in place and believing in guys like John Middleton and Andy McPhail and Matt Klentak and Gabe Kapler. I believe in those guys. I believe that John Middleton wants to win and will do anything at all costs. I believe that Matt Klentak is a really smart baseball guy who's shown me that he has a plan and he is going to execute that plan. And then, again, I can't tell you how impressed I've been with Gabe Kapler, from his player management to his in-game decisions, to his overall mentality and the way he deals with adversity and deals with being resilient and all of that type of stuff. I think that's the difference when you look at these teams. And I think they got a lot of talent on both sides. I think the Phillies are going to spend a little more. But I think when it comes down to it, and I look at the organizational structure, I'll take that Philly structure over that Brave structure, a Brave structure that was in peril just a year ago. I'll take that all day, every day, and twice on Sunday. And I'll feel really good about it. And then also on top of it, I go back to the pitching thing, and this just blows me away, but this is more in the here and now, but I just can't stop thinking about it. Somehow, some way, the Phillies have potentially the best top three starting pitching in the National League. And granted, you can make some arguments there, but they're up there. You know, the Nationals have Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, and then Gio Gonzalez probably is their number three. Those top two, sure, that'll beat Nolan Arrieta. But I don't know if Gio's better than Nick Pivetta right now. I really don't. You know, you look at, Arizona, Robbie Ray's hurt, Patrick Corbin, Zach Greinke, that's not as good. You know, you look at the Mets, sure, Syndergaard, DeGrom, Mets, that's probably better, but not much better right now. Clayton Kershaw's hurt. You just go team by team. The Cubs, yeah, they got a strong top three. Quintana, Darvish, those guys can pitch. Kyle Hendricks or John Lester, whichever you want to go. But the point holds that when you really look at it and just break it down, the Phillies' top three is pretty good. And I think that's something that over the balance of the rest of the season is going to something that's really going to matter. And again, a Nick Pivetta, I'm sold. I don't know. He's not this guy. He's not going to go 22 innings with 25 strikeouts and two walks all the time. But I feel pretty good about where Nick Pivetta's at, and I feel pretty good about him as a piece long term. All right, looking ahead to tonight, big game two, as the Phillies have a chance to win the series tonight and, more importantly, take sole possession of first place in the National League East, they will be a half game up on the Braves if they can win it. So a lot at stake tonight as Vincent Velasquez takes it. Velasquez has been outstanding his last few starts. A 12 strikeout outing a couple outings ago. 6 2/3 shutout ball his last outing. He's been really good. Big spot tonight against Brandon McCarthy, who has also been really good, but McCarthy been around forever and certainly hittable, certainly has had off night. So I think this is a spot where the Phillies jump on him quickly, get to that bullpen. It could be very beneficial as another huge game down at Citizens Bank Park tonight. If you get the chance, go down there. Check out Phillies Braves. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to feel exciting, and it's an exciting moment for this team as they are competitive again deep into May. The calendar is going to turn to June. The Phillies are going to be right there, and that is just awesome. So keep it here. We will come back tomorrow and break down the entire action from tonight as the Phillies again look to take game two against the Braves after winning game one 3-0 and look to improve to 10 games above 500. So keep it here. We'll be back tomorrow. But even still, keep it here. We've got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.